verses 4 through 6. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I got more word than I got time, but I'm going to do good. I'm not going to keep you here till 3 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Maybe 2:45, but it ain't. Amen. But not 3 o'clock. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be respectful. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6. Hallelujah. This may possibly be one of the greatest series I've ever taught and ever preached in my life. This thing is so powerful. I mean, it made my baby leap, do somersaults, and just do. I mean, I am so excited about this. Pray for me that I don't explode. Pray for me that I don't get so far ahead of myself that I leave you and you're looking like, what is he saying? I want to take you along with me with this. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses. We're going to look at just verse 4. We're going to look at verse 4 because that's all we're going to be able to deal with. If you have time, we're going to look at the totality of this series deals with verses 4 through 6. But I want to look at verse 4 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. When you got there, say, uh-huh, oh yeah. I'm going to read it from the King James, and then I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Here it is from the King James. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. The Amplified says it like this. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power in your word. We thank you for the revelation that shall come tonight, today. Now, Lord, I pray right now, God, I thank you for the privilege, oh God, of being able to receive this revelation. Now, temper my mind and my tongue to deliver it with simplicity and power. Lord God, I don't want to be the only one shouting about this. I want to share this with my brother and my sister, your children, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this word do what it's intended to do. Let it lift us up. Let it strengthen us. Let it build us up on our most holy faith. Let it open our eyes. Let it open prison doors in Jesus' name. Let it enable us to walk in freedom. The freedom you set for us from the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to talk for just a few moments this morning from the title. This is a series we're going to start. It's called I Think I Can. I Think I Can. Y'all remember that fairy tale, that children's story about the little engine that could? And he had his load. And he's going up this mountain, and he's tired, he's carrying this load, but he utters a phrase, and that phrase becomes motivation for him, and that phrase becomes a mantra for him. Nothing has changed. The weight is still the same. The pressure is still on him, but he utters this phrase, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. The thesis of this series is our imagination. Scripture says it like this: as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, and when we say heart, we're not talking about this blood pump, but we're talking about the seat of our mind, our will, and our emotions. As you think in your heart, so you shall be. We're going to talk about, for the next few weeks, about imagination, our imagination. And right off the cuff, I hear what you're saying because I thought the same thing when the Holy Spirit dropped it in my spirit. Imagination, when we think about imagination, we don't really consider it in the church. We don't really consider it in the house of God. Imagination deals, most of us, we will think imagination deals solely with just our mind power. And some people say, well Pastor, wouldn't this line up with some of that metaphysical stuff, some of that astral plane stuff? You could argue that, but here's the distinction that God placed in me, because I asked the same question. What's the difference between mind power? What's the difference between the metaphysical? The difference is the power source. The difference is the power source. Now, I'm going to tell you right this. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but our ability to imagine and to think, it'll work for anybody that'll work it, positively or negatively. It'll work. There are people in the world that are working it. There are business industries that are using it. You got vacuum cleaner salesmen. They train them. See yourself making the sale. See yourself making a sale. See yourself selling extra accessories. They're teaching this mindset. They're teaching this principle in the world. It'll work if you work it. And many of us as believers, we're not utilizing this gift of imagination. Imagination. Amen. Amen. I want to look at this verse, at this first verse. In this text that we're looking at, verse 4, and I want to take it slow because there's so much going on in my spirit right now, but I want to make sure you get this and understand it. If some of you may have seen the post that I posted on Wednesday, I said getting ready to teach to a room full of eager people, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. Naturally, it was the same 25 or 30 that come. It was the same 25 or 30 that come. The church wasn't full. And I posted it. And my mind, it was the devil. He said, why are you doing that? Holy Spirit had led me to do that. I didn't see the connection until later. He says, call those things that be not as though they were. Somebody say imagination. Your imagination, it creates a picture of something that has not yet manifested. And it's up to us to hold on to that picture until it comes into reality, especially when it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I want to give you just a little background into what and why Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthian church. The Apostle Paul was writing to a Corinthian church under fire. They were being attacked, and it wasn't physical, but it was psychological and doctrinal. Their doctrine was being attacked. Their mentality toward the gospel of the kingdom was being challenged. Their faith in the God that saved them was being challenged. And Paul writes this letter to a Corinthian church who was under psychological and doctrinal attack. False teachers had gained an audience in Corinth, and their teachings were openly challenging and contradicting the gospel of the kingdom. These false apostles had fabricated credentials and had flexible character. They were money hungry, self-indulging, educated grandstanders who had lowered the standard of authenticity. They came in with fake IDs and fake credentials and fake diplomas and fake degrees. And they said, we know more than Paul. We know more than the apostle that set you up and got you started in the faith. And they begin to systematically dismantle and take down the fundamentals of the gospel. They begin to challenge erosive and corrosive ideas into the thought process of new believers. And I said it Wednesday, and I'll say it again. The devil doesn't mind you starting. He just doesn't mind you finishing. He said, get saved. Come to church. Come on. But just don't grow past your salvation. Just don't grow past your new birth experience. The devil will love to keep spiritual Christians babies their whole life. And we know that a baby that does not grow is abnormal. A baby that does not grow is deficient in many areas. And so the devil doesn't mind you starting. Get saved. Come to church, pat your foot, get happy every now and then, just don't grow. Get religious, but don't get relational. Oh, this is good. This is good. And so these false prophets, these false apostles were coming in. And Paul's letter was written to get the Corinthian believer to check the authenticity of these false prophets and anyone else for that matter by an incorruptible spiritual standard. He says basically, don't look at what they show you. Look at what they show you. Some of y'all got that. Don't look at what they present to you. Look at what's present in them. Oh, my God. The Bible says the tree is known by the fruit. There's a whole lot of folk talk 100 miles a mess. But if you can filter through the mess and look at them and see them for who they are, that's who they are. My grandma said like this, you let somebody talk long enough, they'll tell you exactly where they live. And when she means talk, she didn't necessarily mean the words that come out of their mouth. But the Bible says that our actions are a conversation. The way you walk and carry yourself is a conversation. Amen. You may tell me you love God, but if I see you back there turning up a 40 and getting lit and getting blazed, that's another conversation too. Amen. Amen. So let's get into the text. The Bible says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. Stop. I don't want you. We're gonna break this down. I want to take it slow. For the weapons of our warfare. What do we know? Here's what we know. Here's where you need to take your notes. What do we know? We're in a fight. That first few phrases of that first verse, for the weapons of our warfare, it lets us know we're in a fight. Look at somebody and say, you're in a fight. A warfare is a fight. For the weapons of our warfare, the weapons mean that you're in a fight. So that's the first thing we know. We're in a fight. This isn't a social visit and our opposers want to be our oppressors. That's what we know. These false apostles were really setting these Corinthian believers up to be oppressed. They were setting them up to be in religious bondage and religious chains. And you got to understand that you are in a fight. Some of you know right now, you had to fight to get here this morning. Some of you right now, it was a struggle to get here this morning. You get up, you go to work without any fuss, without any fight. But when it comes to the things of God, it seems like all hell breaks loose in your life. You get ready to go to church and the kids start acting crazy. And your spouse started acting funny. Somebody came here just by the skin of their teeth because you were in a fight. Amen. Car ain't never had trouble. It run to work and run everywhere you want to go all week, but it want to get funny on Sunday. Look at somebody say, we're in a fight. In a fight. I've been printing on my computer all week, but Sunday morning it don't want to print. We're in a fight. Our opposer wants to be our oppressor. We're in a fight, which means you can't walk around casual. Time is far out for casual Christianity. It never was in. But many of us tried to make it fashionable. To say that we're connected to God, but the connection is loose. The connection is weak at best. Time is out for casual Christianity. And let me balance that. That don't mean you walk around in sackcloth and ashes. And speak more tongues than you do English. But it does mean that there ought to be a dedicated, purposeful intent, motion, and movement toward the things of God in every area of your life. You ought to want to be better today than you were yesterday. Amen, amen. You're in a fight. And there's a fight to keep you in the same place you were before God came into your life. There's a fight to keep you. The devil says, I don't mind you getting saved. Just keep practicing what you did before you got saved. We're in a fight. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But the battleground is not in your body, but it's in your mind. Look at somebody say, you're in a fight. That's the first thing we know. Number two, what else do we know? We know number two, we know that we're not defenseless. We're not defenseless. Yeah, we're in a fight, but we're not defenseless. Because it says, for the weapons of our warfare. Look at his name and say, I have weapons. I have weapons. I don't come into this thing unprepared. I don't come into this thing unattached. I come into this fight knowing I got something to work with. As a believer, you got to understand, when you come into the realm of the spirit as a believer, you know, it's not just you, but it's a host of angels around you. As a believer, you don't just come into this thing by yourself. That's what the devil would love to make you think. That you're in this thing all by yourself. And that ain't nobody else going through this like you. Lie, lie, lie. The devil is a master of the lie. And if he can get you to believe the lie, he's got you. But I need you to understand, you're not defenseless in this fight. For we are the body, fitly joined together. Every joint supplies the need. You just don't know the power. Some of you don't know the power of the neighbor sitting next to you. Some of you sitting beside somebody who took a licking and kept on ticking. You're sitting beside somebody who been through hell, but didn't let it burn them. You're sitting beside somebody who knows what it's like to be down to their last and see God step in and make a way out of no way. You're sitting beside somebody who's got a testimony about how God opened doors when nobody else would open the door. You're not defenseless. You're not by yourself. Shout again, I have weapons. Listen, I need to tell you, you are so loaded right now that it ain't even funny. You are so loaded right now. It ain't even funny. We possess as believers right now everything necessary to defeat every demonic attack, every demonic force coming against us on the level that we're presently on. Everything you need right now for victory, you got. Everything. Everything. I got scripture for that. He said, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and 3. He says, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You are packing some powerful stuff right now, and the devil is laughing because you don't even know it. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is yours right now. Everything. Everything. You're not defenseless. He's given you everything. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Stop! The weapons of our warfare, we know we're in a fight. We're not defenseless. Then he tells us about your weapon. So what do we know? We know this. Number three, our weapons are not carnal. They're not carnal. Now, what does it mean to be carnal? Carnal means worldly, flesh-dominated, self-centered, and weak. I'll say it again. Carnal means, when he says our weapons are not carnal, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He means they're not worldly, they're not flesh-dominated, they're not self-centered, and they're not weak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, our weapons are not carnal. Now, when I say weak, weak is not a normal definition for carnal, but the text suggested here. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're not worldly. They're not flesh dominated. They're not self-centered. That means, he says, the weapon that you have been divinely assigned, it has been divinely assigned to you, it is not self-centered, which means it's not just going to help you. Any weapon that just helps you ain't godly. Any weapon that just gets you out ain't godly. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not world. See, this, the world mentality is me. The world's mentality is every man or woman for themselves. But the weapon that God gives you, it's not worldly. The weapon, when you use the weapon that God gives you, it don't just bring you out, but it brings your neighbor out, and it brings your family out, and it brings your children out. Yeah, the weapons of our warfare, they're not worldly. They're not carnal. They're not flesh dominated, which means they're not activated by your feelings. Oh, that's good. Some of us, you know, you've heard we got voice operated apparatuses now. We press a button and a car turn on, come on. You know, we got timers on our lights, and our lights come on before we get to work, but get home. But listen, the weapons that God gives us, they are not emotion driven. I'm talking about this. Your emotions, listen, if your emotions, if you hide your emotions, your weapons shut down. No. Not the weapon that God gives you. He says these weapons are not carnal. They're not flesh dominated. Hallelujah. They're not weak. So what do we know? What do we know? We know that we're in a fight. We know that we're not defenseless. We know that our weapons are not carnal. So if the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, what are they? Number four, our weapons are mighty. I know this is simple. You can see the text, but I believe there's some instruction that God would have us to know. Yeah, y'all still with me? He says, our weapons are mighty. Say mighty. Look at the text. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Stop. They're mighty. Mighty here means powerful, capable. They won't fail, and they're effective. Oh, my God. Somebody say, I got mighty weapons. Hallelujah. Listen to that, multiple, plural. It means if one go down, you got another one to pick up. Oh, my God. Your weapons are mighty. Now, look at this. I love Paul. Paul is my dude. I can't question it, but I believe Paul was a brother. Paul was slick, man. I like this dude, man. Paul, in this text, the apostle Paul throws some major shade at every worldly, flesh-dominated, self-centered lifestyle and mentality by contrasting carnality with a might and power. He contrasts carnality, which is weakness, with might and power. He says the weapons you have as believers are not carnal, which means they're not weak. But the ones you have as believers are mighty, powerful, capable. They won't fail, and they are effective. In other words, Paul would say that carnality is the opposite of might and power. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Lord, help me get this out the way you put in my spirit. So that means if you're in your flesh and you're trying to fight the devil, you already lost. Already lost. Ding, ding, bell over, the round over. The winner is the devil. If you're trying to fight the devil in your carnal state, you already lost the match. But if you fight him with the understanding that these weapons I have, they are mighty, they are capable, they are powerful, they will not fail, and they are effective, the victory is already yours. Already yours. Look at your neighbor and say, I have weapons. And they are mighty, not carnal. No. A carnal weapon is anything driven by feeling or emotion and fueled by a source other than God. I'll say it again. A carnal weapon. What's a carnal weapon? A carnal weapon. When I say a carnal weapon, I'm not talking about a 357 Magnum. I'm not talking about a 9mm. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, here's what I'm talking about. A carnal weapon is anything, because some of us don't even know how to shoot a gun. Some of us can't even shoot a slingshot. Some of us can't even shoot a spitball. So I'm not talking about physical weapons. I'm not talking about man-made weapons of destruction. A carnal weapon is anything driven by feeling or emotion and fueled by a source other than God. That's a carnal weapon. When you get an attitude, it's a carnal weapon. because your attitude will stop God's ability to take you higher. That's a carnal weapon. That's a carnal weapon. When you walk in pride, and you know you need help, but you don't want to ask nobody for help. When you've been jointly supplied, you're part of the body, fitly joined together, and this brother has what you need, but you don't want nobody to know. That's a carnal weapon. Meanwhile, you're struggling, and everybody you connected to is struggling, and you got somebody beside you that can help you. It's a carnal weapon. It's a carnal weapon. I don't know how many people in the body of Christ are going under, sinking. Remember how Popeye used to do it when Bluto wouldn't put him in the water? He'd go, We doing that in the spirit, and we got brothers beside you and sisters beside you who can lift you up in the name of Jesus, but you too prime. That's a carnal weapon. Because you don't want nobody to know that you're struggling. Let me tell you something, baby. Everybody is struggling. Everybody is suffering. Everybody is going through. You ain't the only one. It's the devil. It's the devil's trick to make you think you're the only one that done gone through. You're the only one that done been through this. I'm telling you, there are people beside you who can write books about what you're going through right now. Hallelujah. It's a carnal weapon. It is anything driven by feeling or emotion and fueled by a source other than God. It's a carnal weapon. So what else do we know? What else do we know? Here's what we know. What's number one? We're in a fight. Number two, we're not defenseless. Number three, our weapons are not carnal. Number four, our weapons are mighty. Here's number five. The source of our might is God. Got to be more careful. We know that our weapons aren't carnal. Our weapons are mighty. The Bible says through God. Oh, God. Listen, here's where it says put together. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Stop! Somebody shout, through God. Your weapons are mighty only because they are through God. Hold on, Chris, come here, Chris. Bring my robe, Chris. Here's what I saw. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Hold on, just right there. They're not carnal. Let's get right here. They're not carnal, but they're mighty. Hold it up. Through God. The weapon that I had was all right by itself, but it wasn't effective. It only became effective when I did it through God. When I put on the Lord Jesus. When I clothed myself in righteousness. Hey, when I put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the weapon that I had now became mighty. Because it wasn't just me now. Now it was the God that was working through me. Look at somebody and say, your weapons are mighty through God. Come on, give God a hand of praise for that right now. Ah, God. They're not mighty through your education. They're not mighty through your degree. They're not mighty through your fat bank account. They're not mighty through your social and your business connections. The only reason your weapons are mighty is because they're through God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I thank God for the job and I give him praise. But listen, if overtime is going to put me in conflict with getting my help through God, keep the overtime. I only got 1, 2 hand claps for that. Thank you. Yes, God, it's a blessing God gave you the job. But listen, the job shouldn't get ahead of the blesser. through God. And the devil loved, the devil, his job is, again, I told you, he don't mind you coming, just don't grow. He don't mind you starting, just don't finish. So he don't mind you coming and being around God and being around the things of God, just don't let them get in you. Hallelujah. Look at them and say, the source of our might is God. So it says, so our weapons are mighty. How? They're mighty through God. Through God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In him I live. In him I move. In him, I have my very being. There's something that's going on in the body of Christ now. We're thinking that we can do stuff without God. That's like trying to drive your car without gasoline. It ain't gonna work. We're substituting fuel sources. We're substituting power sources. But the only way your weapons are going to be mighty enough to deal with the things coming against you is that you do them through God. Hallelujah. Which means, what does that look like, Pastor? It means I need to keep praying. It don't mean I need to use prayer as a parachute. Some of us in here are using prayer as a parachute. We only pray when we get in trouble. And it ain't just a parachute, it's a secondary parachute. You know, when they jump, they got two parachutes. They got one, the main one, then they got one when the main one doesn't work. And many of us are not even using God as the first parachute. We're using God as a second parachute. We got to quit using God as a parachute to deliver us out of danger and use him as our source. Hallelujah. Quit asking God when you done tried everything else. No, you go to him first. Amen, amen, amen. So they're mighty through God for what? Say for what? The weapons of our warfare are not, and they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God for what? For this right here. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Y'all getting some out of this? The pulling down of strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? A stronghold, my mentor said like this, a stronghold is anything that's got a stronghold. He's real, real simple, real simplistic in his description. But no, more than that, a stronghold is here. It's here. It's what happens between your two ears. Stronghold. It says the Amplifier says a fortress. A fortress. It's a fortress is a fortified, built up place. And the enemy, Paul's letting them know, because these false apostles were coming and teaching things that were contrary to the good news of the kingdom. They were teaching things that were contrary to the doctrine and the discipline that God has set in place. Now it was creating strongholds in their mind. Now it was creating fortresses and built up fortified places in their mind. And God says, God was speaking through Paul, and he says, for the weapons of your warfare, he says, for the things that you, the weapons that you're going to use to fight this fight, they're not carnal, they're not self-centered, they're not flesh-dominated, they're not weak, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of every mental barricade in your life. The enemy, like he says, he don't mind you coming in. He just don't want you being free. So he has set up mental barricades. Prisons that keep you locked in a mindset that prevent you from seeing God like he really is. See, some of us could have been healed a long time ago. But the devil replayed our auntie and Big Mama and Uncle Ray Ray and how they went through the same stuff and didn't get healing. This is getting ahead of where I'm going. But I'm talking about the imagination, because he puts that picture up. And imagination is an imagined thing. So when you start getting ready to believe God for something you've never seen before, he puts a picture of what you have seen that will try to contradict what God's trying to get you to form in your mind. To try to get you to contradict what God wants you to see as a believer. Oh, God. He says, with his stripes, we are healed. But the devil shows Uncle Ray Ray dying from the same stuff. Big Mama dying from the same stuff. And that image becomes the thing that dominates your ability to walk in the power that God gave you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Paul is saying the weapons of your warfare were given for that reason, to pull down every stronghold, every fortress, every dominating thought that goes against the will of God for your life. God wants you healed. He wants you free. He wants you walking in liberty. But the enemy puts that image of somebody who didn't get it and says, that's all you can expect. But the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And Paul says, this is what that weapon was for. He don't want you brandishing your weapon like you big and bad and ain't gonna do nothing with it. He said, the weapon I've given you is to pull down every stronghold in your mind, every mindset that comes against what God has declared about you. The only way you can do that is to know what he said about you. Which means you got to get in your word. Which means you got to spend time in prayer. Which means you got to get around people who's trying to go the same way you're trying to go. He says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, God, I wish I could get into this, but I can't get into it this Sunday. We're going to start getting into it on Wednesday, so you don't want to miss Wednesday. Let me tell you, I typed that I'm getting ready to minister to a room full because that's all I see now. That's all I see. That's all I expect to see. Even when you don't come, I see a room full. Even when you don't come, I see a room full. And let me tell you right this, you keep staying long enough, you ain't gonna have no seat left. Because the people that I'm envisioning, the people that I'm imagining are gonna take your seat. We'll have a space for you in overflow. But I'm seeing this room filled. Every time the door is open, my imagination is so high right now. My imagination is so lit right now. I'm seeing God for what he can do at this house. Hallelujah. When we were on Rugby Road, I'm done right here. When we were on Rugby Road, I said, God, even when we start this ministry, I said, God, I thank you that you make us the exception to the rule. I've grown up in church all my life in church. I've grown up in church. I slept on the back pew growing up in church. And historically, Wednesday night has been the least attended portion of the worship experience. People don't come to church because most of them don't want to learn. They don't want to grow. They want to be hyped. They want to be made excited on Sunday and leave out. But your real growth is on Wednesday. Where you dig into the word of God, where you can ask the questions that are plaguing your mind. That's where you need to be. That's where disciples are made. We're here on Sunday morning is to be built up, and I love to have you, but this is where we get built up to go out, but we come back on Wednesday to get refilled, to get dug deep. And I said, God, this ministry will be the exception to the rule. And what God, I'm telling you right now, Thursday night when I was coming back from my son's practice, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, you let this slip. You let it slip. This powerful tool of your imagination. You let it slip. And I remember saying, he says, you said this from the beginning. You said you want this ministry to be an exception to the rule. I got that from my wife when we were having our children. She said, she made a declaration. I'm going to be the exception to the rule when it comes to childbearing. She said, I'm not going to go through as much travail as normal. My wife had our son in 45 minutes. Natural birth, 45 minutes. She said, make declarations. I will not have long, prolonged labor. She imagined herself. She imagined herself. I see myself pushing. I see this seed coming through me without incident. We were speaking over our children. You are a godly child, even in the womb. Abstract concepts and understanding come to you easily. You are wise beyond your years. Speaking this, we see you as healthy and whole in every area of your life, speaking this over our children. And God says, the same way I did it for your family, he said, I want to do it for my house. I say, I believe I see this house the exception to the rule. That even though everybody else may be, their attendance may be down on Wednesday, I believe our attendance to be just as full, if not fuller, on Wednesday. And those on Rugby Road know this. You know this, on Wednesday, you remember our Wednesday nights were just as full as Sunday morning. Why? That's what I saw. That's what I saw. That's what I saw. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Are you seeing yourself defeated? Are you seeing yourself sick? Do you see yourself walking victoriously? Do you see yourself the exception to the rule? Are you saying, I think, therefore I can? I think I can. The same creative ability that was in God in the beginning when he created all things and he blew into you the breath of life, that same creative ability that was in God is in you right now. Positively or negatively. Some of you right now, you've talked yourself into a corner. I can't seem to make ends meet. Guess what? They're not meeting. I always seem to be in this place at this time of the year. And guess what? It's where you are. I can't seem to ever get ahead. And guess what? You ain't never got ahead. Even when you had more money than you ever had before, some kind of way, the devil blew holes in your pockets. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. My wife and I, we began to challenge each other because if you're not careful, this will slip. You let it slip. And we say stuff, and my wife would say, we say to each other, you want me to believe God with you for that? You want me to believe for that? And it challenged our thought process. If I don't want it, why should I speak it? If I don't want it, why should I speak it? My kid's always bad. Do you want him to be bad? Well, quit speaking it. Quit speaking it. My child can't ever listen. They won't ever. Is that what you want? If you don't want it, don't speak it. My grandmother would say it. Even after she, my grandmother looked crazy. I can say it now. She's going to be with the Lord. I can say it now. But she was. Everybody knew. She looked crazy. She looked touched. We call her crazy. We call her touched. A little touched. And Connie Lee would whoop you and she talked to you. I hated it. She whoop you and talk to you. Didn't I tell you not to do that no more? Why? She's talking in syllables. Why? You could just say it. Talking in syllables. Oh my God. Didn't I? She said, you are a man of God. You will do those things that God called you to do. Why is she whooping me? You know too much about God to keep doing this. She was speaking into my life. She didn't say, I'm going to whoop your bad tail. No, you are a man of God. You know too much about God to be doing this. What do you want? That's what you need to speak. What do you want to see? That's what you need to speak. Because that same creative ability, God said, let there be light. And guess what? That same creative ability is in you. It's in you. It's in you. We're going to go a little bit deeper next time. but I think I can. I need everybody standing in this room.